big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome.
Welcome to the new year.
The new year, the new year, new podcast.
The year of 2112 or 2023, whatever it is.
Hang on, 2112.
That's the best, that's the year I'm going to live to. Just to just because of the Rush album, and see if it comes true. See if the Federation really do take over.
That's
we have assumed control. We have assumed control.
I'm going to do that.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yes.
See, I might be tempted to join you, except
I'll be living.
I have a fucking life.
I'll be living in the
biosphere,
the exosphere
on Mars.
Well, I've been downloaded.
Wearing a fucking mask, looking like Darth Vader.
I'll have just downloaded myself into some sort of super intelligence. Maybe maybe I will join the Federation and take over Earth, and that will be 2112 coming true.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. And I thought I was the one who was having hallucinations with all my flu. By the way, there has been...
You know, the Twitterverse, or whatever it's called, is very bored of you coming on every day going, oh, I've got the flu. I'm really ill.
No, I've had messages of sympathy
from all over the world. Yeah, I sent you a few.
Yeah. Across the world.
Very sorry to hear you're bedbound.
Well, Christmas...
What's the difference? How do we tell? He's not up yet. How do we tell?
Wow.
How do we tell if it's just because he's ill or what? You know, he's just
I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
I'm up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Have you noticed it's always first light?
Yeah.
We leave at first light.
Yeah.
How about we leave at about 9:20?
But 9:20 is first light at the moment. It doesn't get... It's not like first light is sort of 5:30.
Okay. Well, for those of you not bored and perhaps not on the Twitterverse, I've had very, very bad flu.
Yeah, it was tragic.
Compounded with John's, being ever so busy before Christmas. We haven't done a pod for a while, John?
But we're back.
You've been busy working on scripts.
Yeah, doing, things that writers do.
That they get paid for.
Yeah, get paid actual money for.
Right, so listen, we've got a few things to get through. And I just thought, I just would mention quickly... Because I was on Times Radio yesterday evening with very good friend, John Pienaar.
John Pienaar, yes.
The senior political...
Former political deputy political correspondent at the BBC,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. One of the greatest political...
He's a very good broadcaster.
He's very
really good.
Good,
yeah.
So he invited me onto his show.
Made mincemeat of you, probably.
Yeah. What do you mean, made mincemeat of me? The meeting of two equals, two Goliaths of the media.
What did they have you on to talk about?
Well,
the Eurovision Song Contest.
The breaking news.
We now cross to our Eurovision Song Contest correspondent.
Well, John Lydon's Public Image Limited, in other words, John Lydon, are going to be one of six entrants competing for the honour of becoming Ireland's. Yeah. Next Eurovision Song Contest. Eurovision Song. You know, but they don't always know. Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, well, it's essentially, that's like, the semi final of Wimbledon between, Federer and Djokovic. Whoever wins that is going to win the whole thing. Because Ireland always win the Eurovision Song Contest.
Well,
they won it more times
than anybody else.
Certainly more
times. It's been a few years.
Certainly more times. Per head of popular, the reason they haven't won for several years is they started sending in crap entries because they could no longer afford to hold the contest every year because it costs millions of pounds to keep holding it. So they had to send in, let's get
It's
Alan,
true.
Yeah, you know, Finity from up the farm to do one.
Let's get Daniel O'Donnell to come on and do the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, because we can't afford to win again.
It's true. Yeah. We Irish, we own Eurovision.
Yeah.
But I just think it's... I don't know.
Well, it's quite sweet. I heard he's doing it for quite a sweet reason. It's a song about his wife who has dementia.
Nora.
Yeah.
Well, John's going to be... John is 67 at the end of January, and Nora is already 80.
Yeah.
And she's had Alzheimer's for quite a few years. But he's done this song called Hawaii. Have you heard it?
I heard a bit of it on the radio. Yeah, not Times Radio.
We'll
talk later about me unfortunately tuning into something and seeing your horrible face.
I'm across a lot of shit, you know. Unavoidable.
Yeah, unavoidable.
but it's the first time I played it, I said this to John Pienaar just last night.
I think you said this to John Lydon.
No, John Pienaar.
Of course, John's very interested in what you think of it.
I said my first reaction was, how appalling. You know, it's just this dreadful dirge. But because I'm very diligent when it comes to research, as regular listeners will know, I played it a couple more times. And the fucker started growing on me a little bit. It is very sad, though. It's all about journeys coming to an end.
Yeah, and I think, and sort of the way we, you know, with dementia, you sometimes have these little breakthroughs where people will remember something quite significant.
Yes.
And then it goes again. And it's sort of quite, so I think, you know, the planets are aligning for John Lydon to, let's say, crown his career by winning the Eurovision Song
Contest.
You
say crown his career,
I think it's quite a punk thing to do in these days to go and win the Eurovision Song Contest. You know, you're saying the notion of credibility is dead.
Yes.
Credibility no longer matters. Yes. We're in an atomized world. But who cares if you're credible or not? No one gives a shit, do they?
Yeah.
The notion of criticism is dead.
Yes.
That's what he's saying, and he's saying it well.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
You obviously
that's what
had your,
that's your, what
you
should
had your
said,
cocoa
that's
pops
what you
this
should
morning,
have said to John Pienaar, but you wouldn't have had the wit to come up with that. That's, look, all you could do was blow your nose. Yeah, did you? Sorry, John, I've had the flu.
And John said, I know, I read it on Twitter. I just want to say I wish you every health
like David
recovery.
We wish you well.
Yeah, because, you know, your pod keeps me going.
Yes,
I said, thanks,
did.
John. He said, just one thing. Can you ask the other bloke to fucking speak up? And by the way, when are you getting some decent equipment?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but lastly on Lydon, before we go, I your point about no one gives a shit anymore is absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
But I think Lydon is turning into high art. I mean, I didn't know this till I was researching
your appearance.
My item with John Pienaar on Times Radio.
I hope they paid you for this, seeing as you did some research.
I never discuss money. Anything as vulgar as money. Or people don't discuss it with me. He was in the American version of The Masked Singer.
Was he?
He played a character called The Jester.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't get voted out. He didn't get voted out until episode 8.
So
I don't know how many of these
singing. Yeah,
I don't know how many of these they do.
Well,
but you would have thought his voice might be a tiny bit more recognisable.
But is it though? I mean, you know, he doesn't sing like he did in the Sex Pistols anymore, does he?
No, but he still can't sing.
Even with public image, he wasn't doing that. No, but they used to auto-tune it, don't they? I saw a bit of The Masked Singer when it was first. And they're just fiddling with the voice so you can't tell
who
it is.
No, God, no. Are you suggesting that they manipulate the audience?
I'm suggesting they start getting some good people in it. I mean, there's a lot of heavy metal dudes that be really good in The Masked Singer.
Can you imagine if Ronnie Dio had been on The Masked Singer?
Good, wouldn't it?
There'd be no doubt it was him. Especially when he started.
I want someone to go on The Masked Singer and do a Dio song. That would be good. I don't care who it is.
Holy Dive!
Yeah.
Speaking of Dio songs, there's another item we should alight on.
You're saying this is a news special? As we're back, this is a news special.
Well, if that makes you feel more comfortable,
a
roundup.
Yeah,
round you up, like it. You get out your green pen and your red pen, this is my roundup.
Editorially,
there you go. Yeah. Professional.
Yeah,
you're getting further away from
I'm
the
not,
mic.
Well, I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, did so that's give, never stopped you give before. You a bit of space. Usually, that's when you what? Give you that's a bit usually of space. When you dive in. Is yeah, when well, I'm about
on,
to say
go on. Then
something.
Say what you're going to say. Go on.
I was going to say it came to our attention before Christmas that Bob Dylan has a new book out. I can't remember what the fuck it's called.
It's called. His agent rang him and said, Bob, can you have a look through that pile of paper that's by your desk? Because I think I can get something out of that. We'll call it the collected works.
Yeah.
Yeah, collected by bloody, you know, yeah. DPS from, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bob's okay, house. Yeah. All right, easy, sorted easy, easy Tiger, easy.
I'm just saying.
It's because he's a Donovan fan. You're either Dylan or Donovan. You're clearly Donovan.
I don't know who Donovan is.
Yes, you do. He wrote that song about you. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Oh, yeah, there's that dog one, right. Yeah.
They call me Mellow Yellow. I talk shite. Anyway, Dylan has a new book out, name I can't remember, but it's like the history of songs, and he talks about... His...
Bob Dylan's written the history of songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is this yes stuff?
Well, because I don't... I mean...
What... You don't believe... I'm making it up.
I think of Bob Dylan getting up in the morning,
yeah,
shuffling about. Yes, for a bit.
I've got the book. Shall I go and get the
mumbling
book?
Mumbling a few things.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Yes, he's
someone's
done.
Probably writing
it's been
it down.
Widely reviewed.
Okay.
And if you'd been anywhere near a bookshop in the last 3 months,
have,
you'd have seen it. Anyway, back to the point.
Just checking
in
see if they
passing,
had other things in stock.
He makes reference to. The Rainbow track Stargazer.
Yeah, as being a classic.
As one of the classics.
Yeah.
But he says it's by...
Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, effectively it is, isn't it? When you think of Stargazer, what do you think of? The vocal performance. I mean, it's...
Oh,
and,
I
and
think
the, lyrics,
of the whole track.
And the lyrics. You know, the lyrics are amazing.
Go on, quote me some.
Yeah, what is that? High noon, oh, I'd sell my soul for water. 9 years worth of breaking my back. There's no sun in the shadow of the wizard. Yeah, see how he rides. Why, he's lighter than air. Oh, I see his face. Where is your star? Just Kashmir in the background. It's just Kashmir, isn't it? When do we leave? I believe. Yes.
First light. At first light. At the crack of dawn.
Dan, dan, dan. Dan, 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 dan. In the rain.
Dan, 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 dan.
With whips and chains.
Dan, 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 dan.
It's amazing. I mean, it's a classic.
Crying in the
but,
rain.
Yeah, but it's Dio's song.
Street with no name.
Bob is quite right. It's Dio's song. It's Dio's moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although Cozy's amazing on it, isn't he? That's
he
fantastic
is.
Drums.
I mean, you have to be surrounded by good performances, but the reason we remember Stargazer is because of Ronnie.
Okay.
And Bob has alighted on that fact very accurately.
Well, what people don't understand is that Dylan was a serious Dio fan.
Yeah, and he might. And okay, it might annoy Ritchie Blackmore.
Everything annoys
if
Ritchie
Blackmore, gets to
bless
hear
him.
Of it. But Bob is speaking the truth.
Well, you can bet people have told Blackmore about that straight away.
Well, he's probably got a Google alert, hasn't he? for his name and Dio's name.
His name, Dio's name, and the word black.
Yeah.
Because did you ever see that clip of Ritchie on YouTube with the singer, the wife, what's her name?
Candice Knight.
There you go, Candice Knight. And they're sitting there.
Amazing.
She's dressed as Maid Marian, and he's dressed as Robin Hood.
She's telling him. She's going, how much she loves to be her support act.
Absolutely.
Ritchie's always wanted to be in a medieval band fronted by me, playing his lute.
And managed.
And he's got his fucking, doing his... Yeah. Big
but he's explaining.
He's Robin Hood boots.
I thought, is this a spoof? Because with Blackmore,
you know, he is
such a prankster.
Yeah.
I mean, that's putting it mildly. He's such a mind game player.
Yeah.
But he's saying in this interview his love of the colour black. And he's explaining that all his clothes are black. It's so tap. He's like, and they're like, what's so like black everything? What, like pyjamas? Yeah. Underwear? Yeah, all my underwear is black. All my socks are black.
Yeah.
His bed sheets are black. Yeah. His pillows are black. And I'm watching this going,
yeah.
He must know this is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Or does he?
No, I think he does. I think he very much does.
He's a smart cookie.
He is.
I tell
you
what, I like the medieval stuff.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's not it, is it? That's more.
Well, no, I mean, he does the odd rainbow song, doesn't he? But sort of transposed.
In medieval style.
Transposed for lute.
So does he go.
No, that's a flute. That's a flute. The lute's like a, you know, like a miniature guitar.
Oh, so does he go.
You know, the sort of thing you would play.
So does he go? Dum 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 dum.
He doesn't do Stargazer.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't. He does. He probably does. You know, Temple of the King, things like that.
Why wouldn't he do Stargazer?
Because it's, you know, Stargazer requires the electric guitar.
No, not when you've got a lute.
Yeah, it does.
Not in them days.
He probably does like Man on the Oprah does Catch the Rainbow, you know.
No, that's too far. That is a Ronnie song.
And ride.
That
the
is,
sky.
You know what it's about, don't you? You know what it's about?
It's about Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about catching Wendy.
Who
in the
he
rainbow.
Met.
In the rainbow.
When she
rainbow.
Was working as a waitress in the Rainbow Bar.
Which was all revealed when I saw the Dio film.
Oh!
The Dio film, Dreamers Never Die, which was on YouTube. Free.
Was it really?
It was at the price I like, i.e. free. So I watched
the price it. We can all afford.
So I watched it. And it was very good. It had a lot of Mick Wall in, I have to say.
I think that was what made
sort of
it good.
Based around, very much based around Mick Wall.
And recorded in this very room we're in now.
Oh, I thought, well, yes, but it had the vintage clips. They were the best ones.
The one of when me and Ronnie
were,
at his
you
house.
You and Ronnie at his house. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm saying to him things like, so Ronnie, when did you first get this suit of armour?
Yeah. Yeah.
Womack!
Yeah. And then Wendy's going, yeah, we've cleared the house out since then, but the suit of armour would have been over there.
I thought that was great, actually, where they cut back to that and then she'd you saw the room now.
Yeah, but she'd had the pool table like made into a coffee table. Thought Ronnie had been going, right, what's happened to my pool table?
Well, when I
had the legs
went back
off.
To that same house when we were working on the book, in just before COVID, and I'm going to, I'm saying to which room? It looks so different. It looks familiar, but
yeah, I know what you mean. It's like they've redecorated.
Well, they got rid of the suit of armour. They got rid of what did he call it? Lectern.
Oh, yeah, he had a lectern with a Bible on it, didn't he?
Like a 14th century Bible opened with a candle.
Yeah,
and most. I don't think they showed this in the documentary, but there was a children's playroom. But it was like very 19th century, wooden rocking horse, building blocks.
Ronnie used to get on. Little guy. That's what it was for. It was. I mean, people don't know that.
That's not funny, John.
It's, I used to be in there at night thinking, right, Wendy, I have an idea.
In fact, I'll let you into a secret. He told me. He wrote one of his most famous songs while on that rocking horse.
Yeah, which was
We Rock.
Yeah.
We Rock.
Yeah. And, dead.
He was originally on the rocking horse playing a lute.
Yeah. He came up with it.
Dum dum dum. How does it go?
It just goes We Rock.
Dan 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 dan. We Rock.
Dan 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 dan. Like that.
Does it?
Yeah, just simple.
No, I don't think it does like that.
It's very much
brain damage, mate.
Very much okay.
But you enjoyed very much.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was again. What it did is it made me sad because I thought I wish Ronnie could see now.
Yeah.
What esteem he is held in and what impact his career had. Because I mean, I know people sort of did think that at the time. But I think if he could see now, you know, quite some time after his death, how he is regarded, I think that would be a great sort of reward for, you know, the music that he made. Because he really, you know, you really, that's what the film does brilliantly, is it gives you this notion of, you know, where he sits in the history of
the
heavy
pantheon.
Metal. And you have other greats of the genre now turning round and saying, look, you know, this guy was, he really was the voice in many ways of that particular strand of metal. And the fact that he kind of coined his own vernacular, you know, Jack Black talks about, oh, it was amazing when you were a kid because it was all about rainbows and wizards and, you know, and it was this kind of whole world that he created that was, you know, we sort of laughed at
it. He was a writer.
He had this very singular vision of what he was about.
Yeah.
And he always stuck to that. And there's a bit where he leaves Rainbow and, you know, yeah, he gets chucked out of Rainbow. And it's because, you know, he won't deviate from that vision.
He doesn't want to turn into Foreigner Boston.
Yeah, which is what Richie wants. And okay, fair enough. But to have the kind of, you know, integrity to say, you know, yeah, you do that, but I'm not going to do it. Even though I could make loads of money, you know, would probably be really successful. To have the integrity not to do that,
yeah,
I think really speaks of how committed to what he was doing he was. And then, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he was one very, very intelligent guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blackmore, like all of us, I guess, but such a massive, I mean, as was Ronnie, but such a massive contradiction. So he leaves Purple because, I mean, it's always personalities and money. But the ostensible reason is they're going funky. They're leaving behind the true musical identity. Yeah. hooks up with Ronnie. And the thing about Blackmore's, you know, we talk about Blackmore's Night, but he was using like medieval classical scales even back then.
Yeah.
He didn't come from a blues tradition.
No, not particularly.
He wasn't like, you know, Eric Clapton or something. He really was into these scales and mathematics. And of course, that totally appealed to Ronnie. And it was through that Ronnie built his metaverse of dragons and queens and wizards and kings.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And it was a very pure thing, and people loved it. I'm sure if they had stayed together, they'd have made America, because that was Richie's bugbear, was America.
Yeah, because Sabbath did, you know, Sabbath, Heaven and Hell comes out, and as the documentary again points out, Heaven and Hell was a big hit in America.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of heavier album than anything Rainbow would have made. But yeah, so I mean, that was, and it was the stuff about his early life was brilliant. So there's a lot of footage that I'd never seen.
Me too.
You know, which was brilliantly sort of funny. And it's a bit like, I tell you, a film that was on over Christmas was Goodfellas. And you sort of, at the start of Goodfellas, they do this kind of, Scorsese does this sort of 20 minutes where the main character, Henry, starts off as a kid and he's played by one actor, and it sort of runs you through how he gets to his sort of 20s as a gangster, you know. And it's just a brilliant bit of filmmaking that, and it kind of whizzes the story along. And that's kind of a bit, reminded me of that Dio thing, because it's the Italian background.
Yeah.
And you see him as a very little kid and he's playing his trumpet and he's got his hair combed. And then he sort of gradually metamorphosizes into Elf, where he takes on the persona of an elf.
Of an elf,
you know?
Yeah.
And you've got this...
evil elf.
Yeah, you've got this amazing cover of the first Elf album, which is fucking Ronnie, done up with a fake nose, you know, like looking like an evil elf. And it was very funny. So it was almost like that Spinal Tap thing where they you know, they show you Tap in their younger days when they're doing Cups and Cakes and all the rest of it.
He kind of went even beyond that, didn't he? Because... Spinal Tap, you know, we're sort of tuning into that sort of Beatles kink thing where they start in suits,
that's
flower
right.
power, turns into heavy rock.
Yeah.
But Ronnie went even further back to bow ties and Dean Martin.
Like sort of 50s lounge stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was really interesting. And then he kind of... So you actually sort of realise by the time he gets to Rainbow, he's already sort of 30 or something.
He's 35.
Yeah, so he's got to make it. You know, yeah. he's got to... This yeah. is gives you the real impression of, right, now I understand why that decision we just spoke about was such a big decision. Because, you know, he's almost getting to the point where you think if you're 35 and you're not made it, you're probably getting
especially
to the point,
in the 70s, yeah, where you may as well be 65.
Yeah, you're not going to be making it. But then he, you know, has this meeting with Iommi, who's his usual deadpan self. It must be, again, professing complete ignorance of everything that happens in his band.
Because he has no, yeah. I genuinely think he doesn't remember half of it. No, he doesn't care.
It's like when they're talking about why Ronnie leaves Sabbath and all that. I'm just like, oh, it's something to do with a live album or something. He doesn't know for whatever reason.
At the premiere, which yeah. you were invited to, but you were indoors that night doing your hair.
Yeah, maybe.
No. Iommi was sat behind me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. But at a certain point, I think around the bit where Ronnie leaves Sabbath, just I needed a drink. My yeah. glass is empty. So I go out to get a drink.
You didn't have someone there bringing you?
No. See, that was a complete an oversight.
It's the star of the film. Nick, so the Ronnie James Dio film featuring Nick Wall.
So I missed a crucial bit where I go to the loo, get a drink, talk drunkenly to the bartender and come back. And afterwards people were saying, oh, it was so funny, you know, because Tony was sitting right behind you when you were saying all that stuff. And I'm thinking, what stuff?
What did you say?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think you might have suggested it had something to do with cocaine.
Surely not.
No.
But I also...
was funny. Glenn Hughes was in it a lot. Mm. He was kind of... And I don't really necessarily associate Glenn Hughes with the Ronnie James Dio story, but he was spouting off a lot.
Well,
they were pals, I think, were they?
Glenn was in Deep Purple with Blackmore.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Glenn later joined Sabbath when he became Iommi's solo singer.
None of which is anything to do with Ronnie Dio, particularly.
It's the era, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the era. Yeah.
And also, they're both... Yeah. The voice of rock, aren't they?
Well,
that's how
Ronnie is, yeah.
Glenn used to be the voice of rock.
The voice of rock. Yeah, but the other bit I thought was particularly telling was when they come to the recording of Stars, which is the sort of heavy metal version of Live Aid.
Yeah.
But they had some great footage from that.
They did.
You know, which is really, really kind of nostalgic now of... you know, what happened was the Band Aid happened. And no, when Michael Jackson did the American song, which is called We Are the World, he somehow neglected to invite the stars of heavy metal. So Ronnie, being a kind of, you know, a defender of the faith, as it were, goes, well, I will stuff that, I'll do my own one, which he did. Right. Fair play to him. Gets on the phone to all of these, you know, the heavy metal stars of the day, invites them to a studio, exactly as Band Aid had happened, and they all record Ronnie's song, which is called Stars. And they each get a line to sing. And it was brutal. I mean, this was when you sort of, again, get this suggestion of the regard that Ronnie was held in. You had people like Rob Halford turning up and singing, and Halford was doing his
and Ronnie's kind of like,
on the intercom, no, you can do better than that again. And it was like, and then they had Don Dokken.
Who,
fair play to Don Dokken.
He goes, Ronnie Dio staring at me.
And they show you Dokken doing his bit, you know, and it doesn't go very well. And Dio's like, I don't know, he doesn't say that's crap, but he basically implies that's crap.
Yeah. You're under no doubt as to what he thinks.
You can do much better. You know, and then you're back in. And Dokken sort of very, you know, very willingly telling the story against himself very nicely about like how he was feeling.
Yeah. There's a lovely clip as well with David St. Hubbins of Spinal Tap.
Yes.
We're talking about Malmsteen.
In character.
Can you remember what you said about Malmsteen?
He said, what I liked was, because Malmsteen was there doing a, because Dio himself is, I think it's Dio, he says, or one of them says, the funny thing about the day was they had to end the song with this guitar solo. And the song ends up being about 8 minutes long because everyone has to do a guitar solo. And one of the people who has to do a guitar solo is Yngwie Malmsteen. And Davidson Hummins goes, what I like about Yngwie Malmsteen is that he identifies himself as Yngwie J. Malmsteen, just so you don't get him confused with all the other Yngwie Malmsteen. Which he says completely deadpan.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he?
Very funny, yeah.
He's
yeah,
brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, okay, well...
So I thought the film was terrific, and I thought Wendy was, you know, honest in the fact she said, you know, she basically admitted that they had split up, you know, their marriage had kind of broke.
Yeah, I was surprised by the level of honesty.
Yeah, she said, you know, but she said, which also was absolutely true, and she's proven by her subsequent actions, is that they were a team, her and Ronnie, and that would never be broken up. And she's kind of showed that by the way she has gone on to make all of these things happen.
And also, he wanted her to remain in post. One of the things, when I was working on the book, you know, because you end up just chatting to people that work in Wendy's office or, you know. And there was one guy, oh, I'm so sad, I can't remember his name, very good guy, kind of like Wendy's office manager these days. He only started working for Wendy a few years before Ronnie died. And at that point, of course, it's a bit of a nadir. There's no Sabbath, there's no Rainbow. Dio is not a platinum act and hasn't been for 20 years. And he didn't know who Ronnie James Dio was.
Right.
And it only became apparent to him over weeks and months because he said Ronnie would come in. And he said, we always just thought of him as Wendy's husband. You know, it wasn't like, oh, Ronnie James Dio's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, here comes Wendy, bloody hell. Oh, and she's brought the husband.
Yeah.
He said, and then there was an occasion when Wendy had a meeting with some big record company head honcho about something or other. And Ronnie was there. And this guy, Andy or whatever his name was, he came along because he was driving. And Ronnie said, no, you come to the meeting as well. And it's in a restaurant and they're at this table. And this record company guy and Wendy, they're going at it. And meanwhile, Ronnie's sitting over here just chatting to this bloke.
Right.
So what do you do, you know? And the guy goes, I still wasn't quite connecting the dots because, you know, it was all about Wendy and this record company bigwig.
Yeah.
He said, meanwhile, the husband's just chatting to me. I just thought he was there maybe to give
moral support
yeah, but not involved.
Yeah.
He said, and then it becomes clear. He said, but wow, he said, this is interesting. He said, it was like he had zero ego, which of course I don't believe for a second, but I guess that was in his days when, because Wendy had this huge luxurious furniture place, Hollywood type deal where you make an appointment to go in and it's all very expensive. And I think that was their main earner.
Yeah, probably. While. Yeah. Because I mean, the other thing you sort of see is once, and they do deal with Viv Campbell leaving Dio, you know, that which has always been a point of acrimony between the two. And I don't think him and Ronnie ever made it up.
No.
And I think Campbell just, it was over money. Yeah. Campbell thought he should be paid more and they ended up falling out about it.
Well, you look at how many guitarists Ozzy has.
Yeah.
How many of those is he made up with?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So they deal with that, but then, you know, this sort of slump comes, doesn't it? This slump in his career, which sort of, I mean, again, that goes to that point of saying, I wish he could see now, you know, how his career has panned out. Because I think even to the point where he gets ill, he's not sort of back on top of the mountain, is he? Not in the way he is now, where he is very much in the kind of pantheon of legends, you know.
I think also a cruel irony of Dio's career was this, and I don't think it was Ozzy's doing at all, but the more than a shadow, this kind of spectre that presents obstacles to him. So, you know, heaven
the
and hell.
Spectre looms again. I just thought of that. That's
the shadow of the wizard.
That's one of his lyrics. Kill the king. Treason. The spectre looms again.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it was like a pre-future vision of Ozzy. Yeah.
Because he joined Sabbath, which in those days, it would have been like someone replacing David Lee Roth or Phil Lynott or, you know, I can't think.
Someone big.
Robert Plant or something. It just wasn't done.
Yeah.
These days, it doesn't matter, you know. But back then it was, are you sure? This smell.
But it's great when in the film when Iommi goes, I had this thing, and he gets his guitar out and he plays Children of the Sea.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wow, that was the first thing they wrote, you know, a song.
Well, so he comes in, extraordinary, makes this extraordinary album, has this extraordinary impact, completely revives the band. They actually are much bigger than Ozzy for that first album.
Yeah.
And yet it all comes tumbling down just as Ozzy's career takes off like a rocket.
Yeah.
But then he has his own career, all wonderful, wonderful. But by the time you get to the 90s and that still overlooks Dehumanizer album, which wasn't one of my favourites. I love that track,
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Why
does Mick Wall like the song called I? Yeah.
Because it says it all.
Yeah, because...
but they were Black Sabbath, and then Sharon does the do, and they can't be Black Sabbath anymore. Not only that, but Sharon, because she's a genius strategist, revives Ozzy Sabbath, something which Ozzy particularly was like, never in a million fucking years. But yeah, about $100 million,
yeah.
And then right up to the end, I mean, Heaven and Hell, I liked it that it showed that Heaven and Hell were an ongoing, they were viable again.
Yeah.
They couldn't be Black Sabbath, even though they were, but it was more viable than a Dio tour.
Yeah, probably, I mean, it was, you don't know how it would have all played out, but I think in the end, what you're left with are, and what the film puts across is, these three great records that Ronnie makes over the course of his life, which Rainbow Rising, Heaven and Hell, and Holy Diver. Mm-hmm. And they are three pillars of the genre of music. And, I mean, when you think about it, apart from the really true, true greats, the sort of Led Zeppelins or whatever, who else makes three albums, particularly with three different bands, that are all classics?
Totally.
And that... there is a consensus around. There's no one saying that, you know, Heaven and Hell isn't a classic. Even Ozzy would say, and I'm sure he has said, it's a great record. You know, whatever you say, it's a great record. You know, so to have made three landmark albums, it is extraordinary.
Completely extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I love the thread. I love the thread that runs through as well, because by the time Ronnie is booted out of Rainbow, left by mutual consent, booted out, with no money, nothing. He writes all the time. So I can't help but think that, you know, that time he goes to the studio with Iommi, and Iommi comes up with Children of the Sea, and he's like, let me see if I can come up with some words.
He's already got something.
So I think there's that thread. And then, of course, when you get to Holy Diver, famously, the track Holy Diver, Ronnie had written for the next Sabbath album.
Right. Oh, can you imagine that being played by Sabbath? It would have been slow, maybe even slower. You know,
dun, 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 dun.
It would have been amazing. Yeah,
yeah. And when he played live in the original in the early days of the Dio, he would do. Not just Holy Diver, but he'd do Children of the Sea and Neon.
Oh, he did, yeah. Heaven I saw the first, Hell. I'm seeing the first Dio tour.
And he would also do some Rainbow.
Yeah.
You know, quite right. He wrote the
bit
song.
Bit of Rainbow, bit of this, bit of that. Why not? He did Man on Silver Mountain, I think, yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. You're right. So anyway, John, lots more to discuss, but that's going to be for next
time. See you next time, readers.
Yes. Your
listeners, whatever you are.
First, they're callers.
Yeah, callers.
Goodbye, callers. What callers? Are you mad? And now it's, thank you, readers. Granddad's got no fucking idea, do you, Granddad?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?